Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am so glad you've joined me today, and you are going to be extra glad you tuned in today, because I've got a very special hour. I don't say that very often, because I have live music in the studio. You're wondering who? Marty Goetz. Marty and Jenny Goetz are in the studio today, and we are going to have a whole lot of fun with them. Marty has been called a modern-day psalmist. His songs are scriptures beautifully set to music. You will love this hour. And we're going to take almost waste no time today. So we're going to take our standard 60-second break. And then when we come back, we will start with music. But let's do we have a little something for Marty here, a little welcome music for him? All right, we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Neil Stavem, manager of Faith Radio. I noted this week Thursday is designated as Thank You Thursday. It's been an annual event for the past several years. According to the founder, the goal is to inspire you to thank others and remember the things and the people that you're thankful for. Well, here at Faith Radio, giving thanks for you comes immediately to mind. Especially after our recent spring fundraiser, I'm reminded again of the great love and generosity of so many of our listening family, who pray for and give financially to keep Faith Radio going strong. Your encouragement and engagement is making a difference as lives are being changed through the preaching of the gospel, as more and more people discover hope in Jesus through listening on air and online and on the app or on demand. Thousands each week are impacted for Christ thanks to your investment. So for the many who stand by us financially, thank you. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so today by making a gift online at myfaithradio.com.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through,
the whole day.
Just an old
welcome back to the show. I wanted to do that song to put Marty Goetz in a fantastic mood. I think I did it, didn't I?
Yes.
Marty,
yes.
Marty, Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello.
Well, I know. I read you love that song.
I know. That was really cool.
Well, you know.
Well, I'm a Jewish guy from Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Grew up in the suburbs of called Beechwood, 90% Jewish suburb of Cleveland.
Okay.
And that's the first song I ever sang at Beechwood High School, a Golden White Review talent show. Ray Charles. Now, go figure. That was a stretch, but I won.
Can I get a little sample of that?
Oh, yeah. Am I on here? Actually, I've changed the words since then.
Okay.
I kind of do it as a messianic song.
Oh, nice.
Now. Yeshua. Yeshua. The whole day through. Just that old sweet song keeps Yeshua on my mind. Tell me when to stop.
All right, keep going. I'm going to take an offering pretty soon.
Lord Yeshua. Oh, Yeshua. A song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight, moonlight through the pines. This is as funky as a Jewish guy from Beach would get. Other arms
arms, they reach out to me. Other eyes smile tenderly. But in peaceful dreams, I see, oh, the road leads back to you, I said. Yeshua, Lord Yeshua, no peace, no shalom I find. Oh, but that old sweet song keeps Yeshua on my mind. I said that old sweet song keeps Yeshua on my mind.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That wraps up the show. Good night, everyone.
We're here all week. Why? I've never done that.
That's
ever.
So cool. Yeah,
outside of
I could probably use a new theme song for my show, like Afternoons with Bill Arnold. So if you want to knock something out, that'd be appreciated as well.
Oh, my.
I want to start off today by, A, just being thrilled that you're here. And also, I would love to hear your testimony because growing up in a Jewish neighborhood in Cleveland. And
then, I can start there, yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, and then you go to, on Christmas, your parents take you in to show you the Christmas lights on some of the impressive houses.
Boy, you really listened.
Of course I did. And your mom makes a very clear point that a lot of these people would be
she said we would go through the non-Jewish neighborhoods,
right.
and we would look, they all had the pretty Christmas, because, you know, Hanukkah is our holiday, and Hanukkah we just have, like, our dreidels, those spinning tops, and little menorah, like 8-branch menorah with one in the middle, and we light that, and the candles go down pretty fast, and we have Happy Hanukkah across our front. But the non-Jewish people had the lights and the reindeer and Santa.
No kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all in.
And so we would ride through that neighborhood every, you know, Christmas, and Cleveland had a lot of snow, just like Minnesota, and we'd drive through and say, Mom would say, well, keep your doors locked, kids. There's lots of anti-Semites in this neighborhood. And there were. Of course, that kind of gives me away, because that was quite a while back. That was way back in the 50s, early 60s. But
you're that old?
I'm so old. That's my wife talking.
Is your wife just asking you?
Now at the same,
she's not surprised by that, is she?
No.
At your age?
Not at all.
Oh, good.
No. At the same time, I was growing up in Cleveland. She was growing up in – I'm from Cleveland. I always like to tell people she was born in the Holy Land. She was born in New York City, so she's the real deal.
Yeah.
She's a Jewish girl from – and then you grew up where, hon?
Now in Tenafly, New Jersey.
And then you had an experience just out of, was it high school or college, where you teamed up with Bert and you guys were a big hit.
Yeah,
well, you guys are working the Borscht Belt.
Yes, I said.
Must have had a blast.
Well, we had a good time. I went from Cleveland to Carnegie Mellon University, but I was an English major. It was the 70s, so I had a pass fail. I either passed or I fail.
Right.
It was the kind of thing that, you know, they would like the people would like that now, because it required nothing.
Bare minimum.
But Carnegie Mellon is a great school, but I was in this new program, and because I was kind of a dilettante. I wanted to do music. I wanted to do art. I wanted to do theater. I wanted to do everything and nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
But I auditioned for this guy. As a matter of fact, I always tell people when I'm playing, he was the chef on a children's show that came out of Pittsburgh. It was a brand new children's show out of Pittsburgh. And the theme was this.
Oh, wow.
Won't you be my neighbor? It was Mr. Rogers'
show. Wow.
And the chef was Chef Brockett. That was his name. And he wrote shows. And I was a freshman at Carnegie Mellon, and I thought, There was a show there at Carnegie Mellon that I auditioned for, and I got in the chorus, and so it scratched that little showbiz bug, because besides singing Georgia on My Mind at Beechwood High School, I didn't do anything. I was a very shy kid, and so I didn't have any kind of theater training or anything like that, but I got in that show and that scratched that itch.
Yeah.
Then I heard that this guy, Brockett, was auditioning college kids to be in a show that he wrote. So I auditioned and I got the job, and we went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and we did summer stock theater. Mm-hmm. He wrote these shows. One of the shows, my sophomore year, went to Off-Broadway.
Wow.
And then it went to Off-Broadway. It was called Sweet Feet.
Okay.
It was kind of a 40s throwback musical. And in that show, there's this guy named Bert Lloyd from Altoona, Pennsylvania. He was this big, handsome Welsh guy with this beautiful tenor voice, you know, and he was the star of the show, and I was the onstage piano player, just like this, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of stuff. And I was, and I would love this set. I just want this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I should walk around with one of these.
Yeah, absolutely.
My whole life. Can I just take it afterward?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the show closed really quickly, and Bert and I had nothing to do. We were friendly, you know, we weren't best of friends or anything, but we decided to put together actually Don Brockett, the guy who wrote the show, said, "You guys should do an act together since you're both unemployed."
Yeah.
So we did this act called Bert and Marty, and we went all over Pittsburgh and played all these little saloons and bars and things like that. And then when I graduated from college, we went to New York to make our fame and fortune. You know, and I said, "I'll give it 2 weeks. And if we don't make it, I'm going back to Cleveland. My father needs help at the furniture store."
Yeah.
And that's it, you know. But we got a manager.
In two weeks.
Yeah. And we went to the Catskill Mountains. And the Catskill Mountains, if people don't know, the Jewish people in the heat of summer would go up state New York.
Right.
And it was like before Las Vegas mm-hmm. and before, you know, Nashville where we live. People would go to the mountains. And people like Jerry Lewis and comedians like that, Danny Kaye, they'd all get their start.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks, everybody got their start in the Catskill Mountains. Either your start or your finish. You never knew. But we went up there, and we won the Best New Act of 19...
That's fantastic. That's a big deal. Yeah. Ba-ba-ba-boom. Yeah.
And so we thought we were going places.
Yeah.
Everything was great. We went into New York City, did a show, and we were just trying really hard to, you know, to make it. We were kind of like a... You know, like a variety show act. People don't see those much anymore. But we thought we were doing great until Bert, a Methodist from Altoona, decided he wanted something a little different, a little more. So he went into New York City, and he went into this kind of holy roller Pentecostal church.
Uh-oh.
And as I tell people, when he left there, he began to Pentecost me every chance he got. And he tried and tried and tried, and that was the end of Bert and Marty.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. All we knew is that Mr. and Mrs. Christ had a little boy, and since he was born, it's been nothing but trouble for the Jews. That's
right.
What we knew. Because after, I mean, I was born in 1952,
mm-hmm.
which was not long, my wife,
yeah.
not long, really, only a few years after the end of World War II, really, comparatively speaking, mm-hmm. or relatively speaking. So the memory of the Holocaust was very strong, you know, with Jewish people. It still is, but in those days, really. So the Gentile world to us was, there was no animosity toward it, but we didn't trust it. That wasn't a world we want. So the idea of Jesus, I mean, forget it. That was it. So that was the end of our act. Bert and Marty was no more.
All right. Marty and Jenny Getz in studio. We're going to take a little break. Do you want to play us out a little music to get out?
You mean like oompa music?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The transitional as we go out to break. And then when we come back, you'll bring us back in, okay?
Yeah.
All right. There we go. That's awfully nice. Marty Getz and Jenny Getz are in studio. Marty's got a couple of concerts coming up here in the Twin Cities. If you are in the Twin Cities area, the concert, I think Friday night is already kind of mostly gone.
And sold out.
Sold out. And the last remaining one is Sunday night, April 28th at 6 p.m. at Christ Presbyterian Church. The event is free and a love offering is taken. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, Marty, let's go back to the earlier days. These pipes you have, these start in Hebrew school? When did this happen?
Well, you know, I'm going to answer that question, but I just want to say one thing. You know, I sang that song, Georgia, on my mind. I said Yeshua my mind. And for those who don't know, they probably do from listening to you, but the Yeshua, of course, is the Hebrew name of Jesus.
Jesus, right.
But we didn't know that there was a Hebrew name of Jesus. Mm. We did know that Jesus was Jewish, but we didn't know that Jews had anything to do with Jesus at all. So going back to Hebrew school, I was brought, my grandparents on my mother's side were from Poland. They had a really thick Polish accent. They got out before the horrible things.
Can you do an impression
there.
Of your grandpa?
No, but you know, my grandmother say, you know, she put the food on the table. If you didn't eat your food, she say you didn't do justice. You didn't do your food justice. That's the soup left over. You know,
that's soup. Yes.
Yeah, I wish I could hear them now because it was such a beautiful thing then. But when you're an American,
yes,
and in the '50s,
yeah,
with Leave It to Beaver,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like that's weird. You know,
it's just golden.
Yeah, it is. It's a sad thing that we don't know those things.
Yeah,
but I would go to temple every Saturday. We call it Shabbat now, but in those days it was Shabbos, Good Shabbos. That would mean the Saturday. And I'd go to temple, and I was in the Cantor's Club. The cantor is the fellow that does all the music.
You were in
temple.
That club.
I was in that
That's
club.
High honor,
yes.
isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
they just don't let anyone in that club.
Well, no, that's true.
I auditioned, and I didn't get in, but I'm not Jewish. But
no, I was never the soloist. Howard Bender and Neil Gurney were the soloists. But if they got sick,
you were
the man.
There.
I was right
Little
there.
Sample?
Yeah.
Little sample
well,
of that?
Yeah, we would do like a... I actually did it on one of my albums with my daughter, Misha.
Who, okay.
It was like... L'dor v'dor nagid gad lecha u'l'netzach netzachim k'dushacha nagdish v'shivchacha Eloheinu mipinu lo yamush le'alom v'ed. Almost over. Ki el melech gadol kadoshata baruch atah Adonai Ha'el HaKadosh.
I just don't know what's going to be on the highlights reel for the show tonight.
Well, can you edit out that little mistake?
No, that stays. That stays. So that's when you found your voice and you decided, I like singing.
And that's something I sang at my bar mitzvah, every Jewish boy's bar mitzvah at the age of 13. And that means L'dor V'dor. Matter of fact, my daughter Misha and I have an album. She wanted to do an album with her old man, so she's in her mid to late 20s right now. She's in her late 20s now. She's a mom and everything. But we did an album a couple of years ago. It means from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And that's L'dor V'dor. From generation to generation, we're going to declare the greatness of God.
Okay.
And that's the whole – I think the Jewish people are still together because of that. It's very different, if I may say, from the world of the church – which is kind of like the church is kind of seemingly, in many ways, always kind of looking for the new thing, the new wave, the new. Judaism isn't like that.
Yeah.
It's all about carrying on those traditions from generation to generation to generation. And so that's how I learned to sing, really, in the Cantor's Club.
Very cool.
But at school, I didn't do. I was very shy at school, but at temple, I really.
Oh yeah, you let loose at temple. Yeah.
I was a valedictorian of my confirmation.
Were you
class.
Really?
Yes,
that's,
I was.
Now you're bragging.
Yes,
it feels like you're bragging a little.
I am.
Yeah. So how did Jewish boy Marty come to faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, that's okay. I'll make that quick. Bert Lloyd.
You don't have to make it quick.
Well, it goes back to Bert Lloyd, and as I said. There's no desire for Jesus, no knowledge of, there's no thought of heaven or hell, and it's all about just carrying on the traditions, being a good Jewish boy, going to college, you know, getting a career, being a good person. You know, that really was our ethic. That was our ethos of life. So I didn't have anything to do with anything having to do with Jesus. So when Bert told me about it, it was horrifying. As a matter of fact, I really, there's a scripture that I love. It says that, you know, that Paul... You know, Paul says in Romans, he says to the Jewish people, they will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation and provoke you to anger by a foolish people. That's how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't think Gentiles were foolish people, but we just didn't well, you know, the Jewish culture is very, you know, kind of, at least when I grew up, was kind of insulated. And it was us and them, you know. Right. Even though my best friend in school was an Irish Catholic, Kevin, my friend, he was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought all Christians were Catholics, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really know about Christians until Bert. And so I lost my train of thought. Where was I, hon?
Bert leading you to the Lord.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, yeah. So, but all that to say is Bert, when he told me about that, I was horrified.
By the way, I don't respond to hon, just so you know. Not from you.
That was good.
He intended that for his wife.
I just want
to make that crystal clear.
No, I know what I was going to say. I will provoke you to anger.
Oh, okay.
And the anger turned kind of jealousy because Bert had something I didn't have.
Oh, okay.
And so when we broke up, I would go and I'd play in piano bars, you know, and I'd just sit around, all night long in my piano bar. And he'd come in with his friends, you know, after church, and they'd sit all night long, and they'd wait to tell me the great plan that God had for my life. And I would say, people, I'm a sugar now.
Yeah, that they had something going, didn't they?
But they did.
Yeah.
And they wanted to tell me about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to hear about it. But it did provoke me to buy a Bible.
Okay.
I did buy a Bible. And then I got out of New York, and I went where people were normal, and I moved to Los Angeles. And that's where I went to a place. Bert had a friend named Annie who we had met in the Catskill Mountains. She was a born-again Christian, too. So it was Bert was born again. He was in New York. Annie had just moved to California, but I knew her from New York.
Okay.
And I didn't have anybody out there. I just went to California, mm-hmm. went to Los Angeles.
I've never heard of that. Some guy just going to California.
I was writing songs with my cousin. My cousin was a great songwriter. As a matter of fact, if anybody's familiar back to children's television with a show called Reading Rainbow,
mm-hmm.
my cousin Dennis wrote all the music for that show on PBS, Reading Rainbow. So he was very talented. So I thought we had a chance out there. So I took those songs and I made my rounds in the day. But when I had nothing to do after the rounds were over, I'd start reading the Bible. And that's when all heaven broke loose.
Did you read the New Testament?
Oh,
I did. I went right over to the I went right over to that dreaded New Testament.
Yeah.
I said, I gotta figure this out
Jesus.
About this Jesus person.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
not wanting to believe. I wanted to unbelieve. But I wanted to know why I didn't believe. Because mm-hmm. I really didn't have a good answer.
Yeah.
And that was when I started reading about Jesus. That was it.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't believe yet, but I saw a man who was more Jewish than I was. You know, everything that he did was in the context of the Jewish. I expected, you know, like every Jewish people, that you'd open it up and say, this is about Jesus Christ. And he ate his corned beef on white bread with mayonnaise instead of rye bread with mustard, you know. And because of him, we worship on Sunday instead mm-hmm. of Saturday. And above all things, we don't like the Jews. I mean, that's what you expect to read there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that at all. He celebrated Hanukkah instead of Christmas, as I say.
Yeah,
and
he
celebrated Passover. And he was a better Jew than I. So it provoked me to think about him
all
more.
All right. We're coming up on a hard break, which means the computer just takes us away.
Yes.
So a little music for
about
25 seconds of music. Marty and Jenny Getz in studio. We'll be right back. Behind the keyboard live in studio here with his wife Jenny, and we're having a very lovely chat. And you know, my afternoons with Bill Arnold, how about a little intro, like create a little theme song for me?
My afternoon with Bill Arnold. My afternoon with Bill Arnold. What great times we have talking. Very soon these folks will be walking. And I'll be my shower a-caulking. It's Bill Arnold kind of time.
Thank you. That's absolutely useless. All right. I was kind of hoping for a free score there. I got a new free theme song from Marty Guest.
You got a parody of My Kind of Town,
right,
Chicago.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, I was just felt myself getting very serious there talking about Yeshua because when you do, you know, one thing I wish you could do is bottle the way you feel when you first have your eyes open to who he is, because especially coming from my background, that was the way it happened was, I was provoked, angered, then jealousy, then started to like him, started to like this person, because it's all about him. Really, the only difference between Jews and not and Christians is he. He is the only difference.
Yeah. Big difference, though.
Because he's a Jew. Yep. I mean, he's the Jew of Jews. He's the king of the Jews, which is the strangest thing. So that we as Jews don't recognize him as our king, but that's who he still is. Mm-hmm. He didn't change. He didn't become a Christian. He's still the king of the Jews.
Yes.
So when a Jewish person has his eyes open to his king, it's the entire universe changes. So it didn't happen until my friend Annie took me to, actually it was a couple of things very quickly. One day she went to a Bible study, and I was kind of watching her apartment. I didn't want to go to the Bible study. I wasn't a believer, but I was reading the Bible. And this guy called her house, and I was overlooking the Sunset Strip of California, and I saw this big cross. It was actually a telephone pole, but it was lit up like a big – that's what it looked like to me, a big white cross. And he said, is Annie there? I said, she's at a Bible study. I said, but I think I'm having a religious experience. He says, it's very nice. Have her call me when she gets back. That was the end. And then she came home, and I told her, I think I might start believing this. So she prayed with me.
Wow.
And then the next day she takes me to the beach, and there was a guy named Hal Lindsey preaching. Have you ever heard of Hal Lindsey, the
I've
late
heard
great
from-
planet Earth?
Yeah.
And he was preaching to all these kids sitting on the sand overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And they were all singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, it was quite beautiful, even though I didn't want to believe it. But I thought, maybe I could just hang out with these Christians and not have to believe. But then she took me to this church, and it was called The Vineyard. And it was actually a Calvary chapel.
Mm-hmm.
But the pastor, Ken Gullickson, there was a song way, 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 way back called Charity. Do you remember that song at all? You're too young. But although I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and though I prophesy and understand all. It was really nice. If I have not charity, if love does not flow from me, I am nothing. Jesus, reduce me to love. And he was the pastor at this church.
Wow.
And he preached, and I don't even remember what he preached, but I remember it was good. And then I remember at the end, I said, well, whoever this Jesus is, whoever this person is that they believe in, I think I believe in him too. So Annie took my hand, and there I walked down the aisle, just like everybody else, knelt down.
You're just killing me right
said,
now.
Said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. And then they, you know, said a prayer, and they gave me a hug, and they gave me a Bible. And like every other Jewish person that receives Jesus, I said, oy vey, how am I going to tell my mother about this? And that was it. And so that was it. That was 1978, and February 12th, 1978. And, well, I can't say that my walk has been perfect, and I can't say that I've grown as well as I should have, and I can't say that I've been the best guy he ever called, but I know he called me. Because I don't know how I ended up at that place in the San Fernando Valley of California, but here we are. And it says if we talk about him, Malachi says if we talk about him, there's a book of remembrance written that of those that are speaking of him. So thank you for the privilege of speaking of him.
Would you please introduce your wife?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, as I was saying before, when I was growing up in Cleveland, this little girl was growing up in New Jersey, the daughter of an actor and an opera singer. And she grew up right 20 minutes from New York City, little Jewish girl. Her name is Jennifer Yaffe, and Yaffe means beautiful in Hebrew, and she is all that.
You're very sweet.
And
I know where my bread is buttered. What side of the bread? Whatever.
Yeah, we'll work on that little metaphor later. Jenny, your story is also absolutely fascinating, and yes. I'd love our listeners to hear that.
And it has a Minnesota connection,
too.
Oh, it sure does.
It does. Well, as Marty mentioned, I grew up in Tenafly, New Jersey, and I, too, am from a Jewish family, but we were not quite as religious as Marty's family. My grandparents were Orthodox Jews, but my parents really did not even believe in God, and I was taught that when you die, you go into the ground and you become worm food, which was a very comforting thought. But I always did wonder, why are we here? I mean, you know, I think all little children ask that question. And so I had an experience when I was 14, which was pretty terrible. I was babysitting for a little girl, and while I was babysitting for her, her mother was killed in a car accident. And so before we knew she was gone, my parents owned a two-family home, and I was upstairs babysitting for Jennifer. She was a year old. And my parents went upstairs. I came downstairs, and I just wrote on a piece of paper, if there's God, please let her live. And I woke up to my mom telling me she had died. And I was just overwhelmed with sorrow because I thought, gosh, you know, just 5 hours ago, I was in that apartment with Anita, and if I had been able to keep her there for 25 seconds longer, she would not have been at that street corner at that time when she crossed the street and the car hit her. And I just started having all of these thoughts about fate, and it really sent me kind of on a downward spiral. I started doing drugs when I was 15, you know, smoking pot and being with boys. And that went on for a long time. And I had a boyfriend who was in a band with my brother and my cousins and Tony Bennett's kids called Quacky Duck and His Barnyard Friends. And David Mansfield is a very talented musician. He plays the violin, mandolin, pedal steel, dobro. He was actually the mandolin in Bruce Hornsby's Mandolin Rain song. Mm. But I was at a club in New York one night, and my friend said to me, see those people on stage? And I said, yes. And he said, those guys are going on the road with Bob Dylan. He's putting together a group of musicians to tour smaller venues, smaller meaning like 2,000 people instead of
arenas.
Stadiums.
Yeah,
you know?
Stadiums.
And this is back 1975. And I said to my friend, I said, if I call David and bring him down, can you introduce him to these guys? Because they need a violin player. He said, sure. So I called David. David came down the next night, disappeared backstage. I'm sitting in the audience at this little club in New York City called The Bitter End. And out walks David with the band. And he was hired on the spot to go on the road with Bob Dylan in this thing called the Rolling Thunder Review. And Bob invited all the girlfriends and the wives. So in 1975, I got to travel for 6 weeks with Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and Joan Baez and Ramblin' Jack Elliott and a beat poet named Allen Ginsberg and Roger McGuinn from a group called The Byrds. And we did it again in 1976. And then when it was all over, I was actually depressed. I was thinking, there's got to be more to life than just your art and your talent and your career and your, you know, your success. The person who has a job like, let's say, cleaning someone's house or parking cars, not that there's anything wrong with any of that, but it's not as high and mighty as being Bob Dylan, they have the same right to happiness that someone like Bob or Joni Mitchell have. And so I got to go on tour again with Bob in 1978 to Europe for 6 weeks, and it was absolutely amazing. But right before the tour, I contracted something called Bell's palsy, where half my face became paralyzed. And Bob had his psychic pray over me in a trailer, and she was saying, "Imagine orange, yellow, green, and all these colors." And I thought, "Well, this is silly." And then his girlfriend Mary Alice prayed over me in the name of Jesus, and I walked out of that trailer in a daze. And the next day, I started getting better, and I went on that European tour. And when it was all over, I started breaking out in hives. And I remember saying to David, something's after me and I have got to find out what it is. And I had a voice teacher who was a born-again Christian, and he took me to church with him and his wife, and there were 1,000 people there praying and singing in tongues. And I thought, what is this? And I thought, either these people are crazy, and I'm the only sane person here, or maybe they know something I don't know. And so when the man gave the invitation to go forward, I went forward, but he pushed me over, and I did not like that. And I thought, well, that's weird. But I did start reading the Bible, but I didn't get discipled. And at the end of 1978, I put my Bible away, and I said, well, that didn't work. And I was really, really sad. And then I was visiting my family in New Jersey on my way back to California with my brother in the car. We stopped in Austin, Texas. I went on to Fort Worth and visited my friend Stephanie Burnett, and she gave me a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And I started reading that book, and on page 38, the scales fell off my eyes. C.S. Lewis said Jesus was either who he claimed to be or he was as crazy as a poached egg, but there's no place to call him a good man or a prophet. He would have been a megalomaniac because he allowed people to worship him. And when he said that, I knew who he was. Went back to California, went to the Vineyard Christian Fellowship with T-Bone Burnett. First person that sang there that day was Keith Green. And as I was walking out of that church, there was Bob Dylan and his girlfriend at the back of the church. And Mary Alice said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I got to get a job. And she said, you got to go to discipleship school. And I said, no, I have to get a job. And she said, seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added unto you. And I thought, well, if this is who I'm saying I believe in and this is what he says, then okay, I'll go to discipleship school. And I went 5 days a week, 4 hours a day for 5 months with 11 other people, Bob Dylan being one of those people in my class. And I cleaned his house that year. Mm. I was one of those people that cleaned his house, and I worked for Bette Midler.
If I could just say one thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was a crazy time.
Obviously, you don't do a lot of radio. It's not polite to name drop. Al Pacino told me that.
That's funny.
Yeah. Jenny is like Forrest Gump.
He told me that at De Niro's barbecue.
Seriously? Yeah, see, and things. I'm also very gullible.
That's funny. But We're stealing that.
Yeah, that was
That's
good.
A spectacular story.
No, it was great. I mean, it was fantastic because when I discovered Jesus, I realized, or when he found me, I realized I didn't have to live the life that I was living anymore. Mm-hmm. Even though the world said that life was great, making money, having success, having everything you want, none of it satisfied. And so when I started reading the Bible and I started reading, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. As a matter of fact, I took a Bible before I got saved from a hotel, a Gideon's Bible from a hotel room, and started reading those words and thought, whoever this Jesus is, I could use a friend like him. Mm. And then everything kind of spiraled from that.
All right, I am in studio with Marty and Jenny Getz. We're going to take a little break. Marty's got a concert coming up on this Sunday, April 28th at 6 p.m. at Christ Presbyterian Church. That is on Normandale Road in Edina, 70th and Highway 100. The event is free, and a love offering is going to be received. It is going to be a simply spectacular night, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Do you have a chance? You know, I said that the concert tomorrow night is sold out.
Yeah.
There might be a few tickets left. It's called The Heart of the City, and you can go to our website, www.martygetz.com, and see if there are tickets still available.
And Marty is spelled M-A-R-T-Y, and Getz is G-O-E-T-Z, G-O-E-T-Z. We'll take a short break and be back. Marty, want to play us out? Live bumper music today. Can I call it that?
You can. I'm sorry about that Bill Arnold theme song.
It didn't. Well, I had my hopes high that maybe I'd get a new. I thought I'd get a new theme song.
I let you down there.
Well, you did, but that's okay. You know, I was thinking, you know, you hire someone or you get Marty Getz in and he produces one for nothing.
That's right. I know. Well,
then you had to be going be funny. Thanks.
I was just playing. That's actually the first. See, the first cassette tape I ever made. If anybody out there mm-hmm. remembers cassette tape, her boyfriend, David, produced our first cassette tape because we all became friends, and he was a believer as well. And he produced our
he
first.
Played every he instrument.
Played every
instrument.
Did he really?
Yeah,
he every
kept,
instrument.
Yeah, every and he kept building string after
yeah,
string.
He was
after
amazing.
String.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Those people bother me.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Me too. She's that's why she's really not impressed.
I mean,
with
if I ever started
all.
Like the talent mafia, guys like him would be the first to go. I just wipe them out. So I'm just so fascinated by your story, by your history, and I always love when I hear about people who grew up in Jewish families who come to faith in Christ, because the whole idea of trying to share Christ with Jewish people is not always very easy.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, it's been interesting for us. I mean, we probably have reached more people unawares than awares, you know, because, you know, what happens really, I think I heard Tom Berkowitz say that. A part of our life as believers is we become part of the body, we're an encouragement to the believer to go out and reach their Jewish friends. Mm-hmm. And so, because she came through T-Bone Burnett's wife, and I came through Bert and Annie, mm-hmm. none of them is Jewish. So I think that's really a key there, you know, and I think Paul talks about that, you know, in Romans. He says, you know, that through the mercy shown you, he's talking to the Gentiles, through you, you're going to show mercy to my people, my kinsmen. So it's really, for a lot of Jewish people, we're frustrated that we don't reach our own people as well as we could.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that lots of people whom we have reached have gone out and reached their Jewish friends and neighbors. So that's an encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we won't know until the kingdom comes,
true.
You know.
Yeah, I'm curious about the CD you did with Misha.
Yes.
And I got a copy of it from the Berkowitzes. You might know those people.
Yeah, Tom and Marcia
Berkowitz.
And
unfortunately, I didn't get to listen to it because if it stays in the cellophane, you get more for it on eBay.
Are you a comedian?
Yes, he
no.
is. Yes, he
so,
is.
So I'm just, it's absolutely gorgeous. Thank you for that rim shot.
Oh, you have heard it.
It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a beautiful CD.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Is
yeah.
it our live from Jerusalem?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
It's stunning.
Oh,
wow.
Well,
and may I say something? We recorded that live in Jerusalem last year. We led our first tour over there. We take one bus. And we recorded it at TBN Studios, and they have picked it up, and they're going to start showing it on their
awesome.
On their network. Yeah. And
so watch for it.
And we lead tours to Israel, don't we?
We do. We just started last
year.
Yeah.
We're taking another group May 12th through the mm-hmm. 21st. And if people are interested, go to our website once again.
MartyGetz.com?
And see what's going on next year. We're taking a group again, so we'd love to have them.
Yeah.
We'd love to
is
have
there,
you
is
join
there
us.
Music on that tour?
Oh, throughout.
Yeah. Is there?
That's
we'll
the
be,
whole point.
We'll be
yeah.
singing all through
it won't
the
be
land.
With that 26-piece orchestra
no.
again overlooking the
no.
city of
that
Jerusalem.
That was
but
stunning. The visuals on that was spectacular.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sight. Yeah.
And that
thank
was
you
all
for,
our,
thank you for
our daughter is the one that
exactly.
literally put the whole
yeah.
thing together.
We have a one and only daughter, and she's keeping us going until we're done.
Is it nerve-wracking when you are doing a live event and you need good weather?
I never even thought
yes.
of that.
Seriously, I mean,
what
I mean,
kind
you,
of miracle
you,
is that?
Oh, that's
I mean, you
true.
Had,
you know, I didn't even think of that. That's
oh, serious?
Amazing.
I'm the one.
Outside.
I'm the brains in the studio are, right now.
The only problem we had was behind the stage, which you don't see.
Yeah.
Was a little house that had like a burrow in their backyard that made noises every once in a while.
Yeah. And we think it was Ramadan.
Yeah,
right?
And it was. I think it was Ramadan.
Yeah.
And at a certain point in the evening, they started playing. Like,
no kidding.
There's all this Ramadan celebration music off in the distance, and you could hear it on the set.
Yeah, actually, on the DVD, you can kind of hear it in the background, and you see the conductor kind of trying
yeah.
to figure out what do we do here. And Marty just...
So I started playing the Israeli national anthem.
Why don't you play that for us? Yeah, that's what he did. And everyone started singing.
And everybody
singing.
On the stage started singing. All the
and
people.
And our musicians.
Is that right?
Yeah,
the
our musicians
stood up.
To
I mean,
their
it was
feet.
A completely
was
unexpected moment. It was
wow.
amazing. Yeah.
That was you thinking on your feet, huh?
I was. Not
that's fantastic.
Not as quick as you.
No,
but
no,
I
I'm just saying. That's fantastic.
The first time.
Yeah, Jenny, do you sing?
She does.
I used to sing, but when I discovered my daughter had a voice, I let her take my yeah. my role.
We'll sing together.
How about a little mini duet here?
Yeah.
Why not?
This is a song we used to sing. No, we used to sing this song with the Berkowitz children
yes,
all the time.
Yes, we did. But let's just sing it in together in harmony, okay?
No, you sing the first
no,
one.
No, I'm not going to.
You sure?
Go ahead. A minor. Whatever.
No, here we together
go.
And we, being many, are one body in Christ, in Christ,
in Messiah,
and everyone members of one another, loving each other with God as our Father, who loves us as a mother loves her newborn child, who loves us as a mother loves her newborn child.
That's lovely.
That was beautiful, honey.
Thank you for singing me with me, Marty.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys like each other, don't you?
We sometimes yeah. we do.
We've been married that. 35 years in November.
That's right.
Yeah. So you're in town for two concerts.
Yes.
Let's chat about that a little bit. You've got one coming up tomorrow. Let's see. Is today Thursday? Yes.
It is.
So tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Shh. And you're, Shabbat.
Yes. So MartyGetz.com if you want information on that event. G-O-E-T-Z. Marty, M-A-R-T-Y. MartyGetz.com. And the one that's got a little bit more space for sure is coming up this Sunday night. For those of you in the Twin Cities or willing to drive a little extra, you can go to Christ Presbyterian Church. The event starts at 6 p.m., and the event is free. And there's going to be a love offering will be received that night. So that's just coming up this Sunday, which is fantastic. And how often do you get to the Twin Cities?
Well, before we overstayed our welcome at Tom and Marsha's 30 years ago, when we were supposed to just stay for a weekend, we stayed for a couple weeks. We used to...
In their daughter's bedroom.
Yeah, we used to come often. We've tried to get here at least once a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. And we're good. We've known Tom and Marcia since 1986, and it's just been a great friendship ever mm-hmm. since then.
Yeah, Tom has said a friend in need is a pest.
He said that once.
About your two-month stay. Don't take it personally, though. Because I believe you guys are still friends.
Yeah.
So, Marty, we've got just a minute left. Can you play us out?
You know what? How much time do we have?
We have a minute and 50 seconds.
I'm going to play a really quick song that my daughter Misha wrote.
Awesome.
And it'll be for all the listeners.
This is Marty Getz.
And it's Misha's song from number 6.
From her album Weight of Glory.
May the Lord bless and keep you. May his grace and his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha pichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yosemcha shalom. V'yosemcha shalom. May the Lord give you peace. May he give you peace.
That is Marty Getz. Marty and Jenny Getz, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. Again, he's got a couple of events this Friday night and Sunday night at Christ Presbyterian Church in Edina, Minnesota. Go to MartyGetz.com, G-O-E-T-Z. Thank you for being such wonderful guests.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a short break and be back. Hour 2. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.